Live to the nations.
I'd rather pay pound for milk than to see a dairy farm have to sell this for cows and close their doors.
Okay. Pound for milk. Milk's about 1.85.
Okay, Amy. Whatever you say. It's like, were you in a milk from so yes. More than a pound?
Now live. Morning, people arriving. We'll just wait till a few more arrive. Good to see you. It's a beautiful morning. Hope you've got sunshine where you are. That's people starting to come in. Good. Welcome to MGF. Gonna have another service from the couch this morning. Nice and comfortable. We'll just wait a moment or two for more people to join us. I'm sitting here with my living room congregation again.
Hello.
Morning.
Hi.
That's all three of them. Lydia's upstairs somewhere. So there's a few people joining us. We'll start very soon. Gonna be the same as the last few weeks. We'll have a message. We'll receive an offering and we'll take communion together.
So there's a few people joining
us. Nancy will get used to the technology shortly. While we're waiting, Stuart, we didn't get our long walk yesterday. We're going to do that again soon, or we're going to do that soon. But we had a short walk, which was very nice. Thanks for asking. Good morning, Pauline. Morning, Steve. Good to see you guys with us. Good morning, Chris. How are you, sir? Good to see you. Can't see everybody that's on. I'm just looking at the comments. Say hi and I'll say hi back maybe. But if you're in, welcome. It's good to see you. I'll be starting with my message very soon, carrying on with our I Will series, which we started last week. If you haven't listened to that, I would suggest you go online and listen to last week's, our first of the I Will messages and an Easter Sunday message at the same time. So that will be well worth going and listening to. So we've got a few people in now. It's gone 11 o'clock. So we'll just open our service in prayer. And we'll start with a message. So Father, I thank you so much that we are joining together this morning. Thank you that we're able to assemble together, even though not in person. We can gather on this platform and we can look at your word. We can sow into your kingdom. We can gather around communion. So thank you for this time, Father. I thank you that we will be blessed. I thank you that we will be a blessing. I thank you for everyone that is watching right now and everyone that will watch later on in the day and the week. Hallelujah. So we thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for one another. Thank you for local church, the vehicle that you instigated, Father, for spreading the gospel and for encouraging one another. So thank you for our church. Thank you that we're able to join together as church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's really good to see you all. Yes, Chris, we are blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved. Thanks for that reminder. Even in this time of lockdown, even in this time when we're not allowed to do a lot of what we normally do, we're still blessed, we're still highly favoured, and we're still deeply loved. That never changes. The Lord never changes. His attitude towards us never changes. So welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. It's really good to see you this morning, gathering together on this platform to look at you, look at the Lord's Word, to receive an offering together and to take communion together. So I really hope this morning that you'll be blessed by joining with us. So thank you for everybody that's on. Let's get stuck into the Word, shall we? I've got a message for you, and then we'll do other things later. Sorry, you were looking... Nope. Okay, sorry, I thought Nunzi was saying something in there. Hallelujah, let's pray for the Word. Father, I thank you for your Word. I thank you for these seeds that we're about to plant. Thank you that they are incorruptible seeds. Thank you that they are perfect. Excuse me, thank you that your Word, understanding of your Word, that is the vehicle for change in our lives. So I speak out a blessing over this this message this morning. I speak out understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, understanding so that these seeds are not stolen. Understanding so that they can grow and develop fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Excuse me for a minute. Oh, sorry, that's better. So, let's get into the Word. I started a new series last week. I started a series about the I will statements of Jesus. And the first one last week was a very apt message. It was also an Easter Sunday message, but it was based around these I will statements. And we saw that Jesus said, I will be killed. He predicted that. He gave his disciples a picture. He gave them a very, very open, blunt statement, and he showed them the scriptures that said this was going to happen. So three times he told them that I will be killed, but also that I will be raised after 3 days. And we saw, of course, that Jesus was killed and he was raised on the third day. And what you'll see all the way through this series is, if Jesus says I will, that means it will be done. I will is a certainty. If Jesus says something, Jesus says I will do that, he does it, and we can be assured of that. And we saw last week that first two I will statements, I will be killed, I will be raised on the third day, are absolutely essential for our faith. If it wasn't for the resurrection, our preaching and our faith would be in vain. That's what the Word says. It would be empty. It would be worthless. But hallelujah, we know our preaching is not in vain. We know our faith is not in vain because Jesus did rise up on the third day. So hallelujah, we started off last week with that. So I'm going to cover another couple of I will statements this morning. And statements that if you've been listening to me preaching, or if you've been coming to MGF or watching online or whatever for the last few years, you should be very familiar with this passage of scripture. It's a very familiar message. I preach it often. So for most of you today, this might be just a little bit of revision, a little reminder of the Word, of the truth. But if this is the first time you've heard this type of message, I really pray that you will look at the scriptures, take it into your heart, and hopefully be blessed by it. So turn with me in Matthew 8. We used this last week to start with, to show you an example of an I will statement. But I wanna talk through this morning. Show you the importance of this scripture this morning. And talk about Jesus saying, I will. So let's look at Matthew chapter 8, and I'll read from verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. Hallelujah. I want to talk about that first encounter, the encounter with the leper, and then I'll talk about the encounter with the centurion. But that encounter with the leper is in my opinion, one of the biggest displays of compassion that we see in the whole of Scripture. If you understand what it was to live like a leper back then, you will realise how much love, how much mercy, how much compassion Jesus showered on this dear man. And I spent time meditating on that on Friday as I was preparing this sermon, trying to see, actually picture in my mind what happened there, see what the leper must have been going through and how he received that wonderful compassion from Jesus. You see, Jesus actually did something that he shouldn't have done here. Jesus shouldn't have had anything to do with that leper. Lepers were ostracized, they were pushed out of society, they were pushed to the margins of society, and Jesus shouldn't have touched him, shouldn't have had anything to do with him. But he had physical contact with this man, which was against the law. He shouldn't have, or which was against the culture of the day. He just shouldn't have had anything to do with that man. And the leper, if you think about it, the leper also put himself at great risk. We see Jesus coming down from the mountain. Now, we don't see him coming down on his own. It says there was great multitudes following him. There were lots of people there. That leper shouldn't have been anywhere near people. He could have actually been killed. It could have been the end of his life. Leper put himself at real risk. Shouldn't have gone anywhere near all those crowds. But I see this man in an absolute state of desperation. He had nothing to lose. He had lost everything as it was. He was pushed out of society. He wasn't allowed to live where he would have been living. He'd have been in a colony with the other lepers, pushed away from society. He had nothing to live for. And he came in this desperate state to Jesus. He comes to Jesus and he calls him Lord. Calls him Lord. And says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you want to, if it is your will, you can heal me. Hands that right over to Jesus. Hands it over to the Lord. If you want to, you can make me clean. You can heal me. What a question. A wonderful question. And it's one that some in the church are still not able to answer today. But we see Jesus. Now remember, Jesus is part of the Godhead. Jesus is part of the Trinity. Jesus is God. So in reality, this man is saying, God, will you heal me? God, is it your will to heal me? And many believers are still asking that question, still trying to work that out. God, will you heal me? God, is it your will for me to be healed? Well, people would just read the next verse. They've got the answer there. Because we know Jesus is God. And Jesus said, I will. Pure and simple, really easy. There's the answer. I will be clean, be healed, be whole. And of course, the leper was. He also gave the same answer to the next person that he came in to contact with. The centurion. The centurion, his servant, is lying sick at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And the centurion's asked, we come and heal my servant. And Jesus says, I will. So he's answered the question again. I will. Now I want to show you another couple of verses to show you that this is for you as well. Because some of us might look at that and think, well, that was great. You know, when Jesus was walking the earth, yeah, that's great for the leper. It's great for the centurion, great for the centurion's servant. He wanted to heal them. But would you want to heal me? So let's look at a couple of verses. Look at Acts 10, verse 34. It's one I use quite often. Acts 10, 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't respect anybody. That's not what it means. But if you look into the Greek, this means that God has no favourites. God will not do one thing for one person and not do it for another. So if we look at the scriptures and see God is saying, I will heal you, to the leper, to the centurion servant, we can be assured that that's the same for us as well. Because God is no respecter of persons. To us, we are the same as the leper, the centurion servant, the multitudes that Jesus healed when he was walking the earth. Everyone, we know this, everyone alive today has the same opportunity for salvation, don't we? God doesn't change, God doesn't want some people saved and others not saved. He's no respecter of persons in that context, but it's exactly the same for healing. No respecter of persons. If he's healed him, he will heal the others. It's as simple as that. We have the same opportunity to be made whole. That's one of the meanings of sozo, the meaning for the word salvation. Just as we can be saved, we can be made whole, and that's available to every single person. God is no respecter of persons. And let's look at Hebrews 13:8. All verses that you should be aware of, but if we link all these verses together, we can get a deeper understanding of Scripture. This is what it means to rightly divide the Word. In order to study one part of Scripture, we need to look at other different parts of Scriptures and tie them all in together. So Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. If Jesus Christ healed yesterday, he heals today and he heals forever. That's it. If Jesus Christ is compassionate yesterday, he's compassionate today, he's compassionate forever. If Jesus Christ dishes out mercy yesterday, he does it today and he does it forever. Absolutely constant. The answer always is, I will. I will. I'm willing. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Acts 10. Excuse me. Let's look at Acts 10 and verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Here we see, in one verse, the three parts of the Godhead. We see the Trinity here. We see God anointing Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. All three coming together at this one point. And we can truly see the will of God here. Because all of God, if you can get my meaning, all of God is in this verse. All three parts of the Godhead, all three parts of the Trinity. Three in one, all here. So we can really see the will of God. And what was the will of God? To go about doing good. And what was that good? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You see, it's always God's will to heal. Always God's will. He healed all, it says here. And that's the key, quite often. This is something we see a lot in the Gospels, isn't it? That word all. Jesus healing all. Why? Because it's always his will to heal. Always has been. Always will be. Look at Psalm 107 with me. Verse 19-21. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Times of trouble, they were in distress. What did God do? Sent his word and healed them. It's always God's will to heal. Now we know that word can mean two things. We understand it in two ways. We understand the word being the Logos, that's being Jesus, but also the word being Scripture. So we can use those two different uses of the word. Word to talk about healing. Jesus came and delivered healing, and the word confirms that that's what Jesus did. So we can look at Jesus, we can look at the word, and it's always the will that we are healed. Amen? Always God's will. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll read from verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Why does it say forget not all his benefits? Because we forget them sometimes. Now look at the first two benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. We get the forgiveness thing, don't we? We believe that Jesus forgave us of our sins at the cross. Every believer, every denomination, every doctrine will tell you that. But quite often we seem to forget the next benefit. That forgiveness and healing goes hand in hand. It's always God's will to forgive. It's always God's will that people are saved. We understand that. All of Christendom gets that. But then we forget sometimes that it's always his will to heal. Forgiveness, healing goes together. It's always God's will to forgive, and it's always God's will to heal. And he provided for that at the cross. He provided for that at the atonement. If you want to understand more about the atonement, look at my previous message. There's 5 messages on atonement. One of them is about forgiveness and healing. I would recommend you look at that. He provided for our healing at the cross, didn't he? Look at Isaiah 53. Verses you'll all know, probably not been any new verses for you this morning, but if we link them together, if we rightly divide the word, we can see that it's always God's will to heal. Isaiah 53, let's read from 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is a prophecy that tells us what Jesus is going to do on the cross. It's going to be forgiveness and there's going to be healing. Hallelujah. We see that in this prophecy. And if we read the Gospels, we see Jesus doing it. And if we read the New Covenant Epistles, we see that confirmation of what Jesus has done, providing forgiveness and providing healing. See, guys, if you understand these scriptures, if you rightly divide the word, it is really ignorant of you to ask God to heal you, to ask God if it's his will that you are healed. If we understand these scriptures, we wouldn't be asking that question. We wouldn't be saying, God, if it is your will, heal me. God, if it is your will, heal that person. That's a wrong prayer. We're praying in error. I'll tell you how to pray in a moment. It is always God's will to heal. Always has been. Right the way through the scripture. Old Testament, Gospels, New Covenant. Always his will to heal. Especially clear if you read the Gospels. You know, people say, oh, I wonder what God would do. What would God have done? Well, read the Gospels and see what Jesus did. Because he was the express image of the Father. He could only do what the Father could do. He could only do what the Father told him. He wasn't in his own mission. He was on his mission from the Father. So if you look at what Jesus did, you can transfer that onto God the Father, and see what God's will is. And in the Gospels, Jesus never refused to heal a person. Once he had to pray twice. But he never refused to heal a person. And if we see there's somewhere where Jesus' power wasn't being made manifest, it wasn't his fault. It was the fault of the people. It was the unbelief of the people. So Jesus never withheld healing. Far more importantly, Jesus never ever put sickness on anyone. Look throughout the whole of the Gospels and try and find a place where Jesus made people sick. He doesn't do it. And he's the express image on the Father. Yet some of us believe that in order to keep us down, to teach us a lesson, God will either put sickness on us or put sickness on people that we love. That's a perversion of the Gospel. Because Jesus didn't do it. God the Father won't. So rightly divide the word, you will see it is always God's will to heal. It is never God's will for us to suffer in sickness. Suffering in sickness is a curse. Look at Deuteronomy 28. It was never good. It was always a curse. And God doesn't curse us. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus, the express image of the Father, can only do what the Father will do. Remember earlier in Acts 10:38, we saw that Jesus went about doing good and healing people, and it says, and God was with him. God was with Jesus while he was going about doing good, healing people. It is always God's will to heal. There should be no debate. I shouldn't even be talking about this. It should be a universal truth in Christendom that God wants us well, that God wants us to be healed. We shouldn't even be having this debate. That's a doctrine that should have been sorted out years ago. We don't need to ask the question. We don't need to pray, God, if it be your will, let me be healed. God, if it is your will, heal my wife, daughter, son, whatever. We shouldn't be praying about that. We know his will. We know his will from the word of God. And he has already sent his healing. He sent his word. Remember, we just looked at that scripture. He sent his word. And that word went about healing and doing good. So asking if it's God's will to heal is a really silly prayer. You know, it's more than silly. It's a dangerous prayer. Because if we're praying like that, there is doubt and unbelief in that prayer. If it be your will, maybe it won't be, is what you're really saying. Now, we say that Jesus came to destroy sin and death, didn't we? But you know what? He came to destroy sickness and illness as well as that, at the same time. It is God's will that we live in health. Live in health and prosperity. Above all things is what is written in 3 John verse 2. Above all things, I wish that you were in health and prosperity, is what God's saying to us. But there's a problem, isn't there? There's a problem we all have, or a problem we've all seen. We don't always experience healing straight away. Sometimes we don't experience healing full stop. Sometimes we don't see healing in other people, and that's a problem. We need to rationalise that. We need to maybe blame someone or blame something. We need to work out why that healing hasn't been made manifest. And most of the church rationalises that by saying, well, maybe it's not God's will to heal. Maybe God's holding it back for a reason. But that's an error. If you understand the scriptures that I've taken you through today, you shouldn't think like that, because there's nothing like that in scripture. But we need to rationalise, we need to work out, we need to have an explanation for something that we see in the physical. Not full healing, not full manifestation of healing yet. That person wasn't healed. Therefore, God must be holding it back. There must be sin in our lives. God must be keeping it for a reason. Maybe it's not always God's will to heal. Well, that's nonsense. We've seen the scriptures today that prove it is always God's will to heal. Now, I'm going to say something that might sound a bit strange. After saying all that, I'm speaking to you born-again believers. God is not healing you today. But Vic, you've just said it's always God's will to heal. But for us, we are not being healed today. We don't need healing. Now, for most Christians that I experience, healing is something out there. Healing is something out there that needs to come to us, that needs to come upon us. Out there, waiting to be delivered to us, to be given to us, by God, of course. But you know what? Healing was in the past. Healing's been done already. We're not waiting for it to be given to us. Healing is not out there. Healing is in here. It's not something we need to be grasping at to get it. It's something that we've got already. In your born-again spirit, in the new you, in the new man, in the new creature that 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about, you have already got all the healing that you're ever going to need. Because that born-again spirit is actually perfect. It's been made whole. There is no sickness in that born-again spirit. There is no way that born-again spirit can be sick. And in that sense, we don't need healing. We don't need to be healed because we already are in the real us, in the perfect us. We've already been healed. We're already living in 100% supernatural health. But it's in our born-again spirit. And sometimes we struggle to get it out. As forgiveness flowed at the cross, so healing flowed at the cross. And as we're born again, we benefit from that. And our new creature, our new man, our born-again spirit, our perfect spirit, is completely healed, completely whole, has all the healing that we're ever going to need, has all the prosperity, all the joy, all the acceptance, all those spiritual blessings. The truth is, now listen carefully when I say this, God is not healing us and does not need to heal us. The truth is, he has healed us. And that's something we need to grasp. We are, now listen to this, we are the healed with sickness trying to come upon us. We are not the sick trying to be healed. Can you understand the difference, that different mindset? We are not sick people trying to be healed. We are healed people with sickness coming upon us and trying to come upon us. This enemy coming to steal, kill and destroy that healing that we already have. That's what sickness is doing. It's coming to try and steal your healing that you already have. We are not the sick trying to be healed. We need that different mindset in order to make it much easier for this healing to be made manifest out of our spirit into our bodies. Healing is not out there waiting to be given to us. Healing is in us waiting to be worked out. We actually don't have to ask God anymore, will you heal me? What Jesus said to the leper really actually isn't for us in this new covenant. If we ask Jesus that question now, he won't say, I will. He will say, I have. Amen? It's not I will. It is I have. It's something we've already got. But folks, the problem is, when we're born again, our spirit is made perfect, but our mind is not. We're still living with unrenewed minds, with certain amounts of unbelief, with certain amount of toxic thought patterns that are driving us down this road of unbelief and doubt, whereby we ask questions like, if it is your will you heal me? Our task now is to renew our minds, to build up positive thought patterns, to see transformation in our bodies. We should not be asking God, will you heal me? That question is irrelevant. We should be asking God, what do I need to know? What do I need to understand to see my healing made manifest? What scriptures do I really need to get into and get deep into my heart and use the scripture? What scriptures do I need to change these toxic thought patterns that I've got in my head and transform them into positive thought patterns so that I'll then see my body being changed? That's the key. Now, I know this is a very familiar message for most of you. It's a message that I preach all the time. But guys, we need to hear it again and again and again. How many of you there can honestly put your hand up and say you are living all the time in 100% supernatural health? If the answer is yes, you don't need this message. I mean, if the answer is yes, you need to be preaching this message and telling people how you've managed to get that 100% supernatural health. But I don't think there's many of us who are living all the time in 100% supernatural health. That is a possibility, folks. If we renew our minds to the truth and work out that healing from our spirits through our mind and into our bodies. So we need to hear it again and again and again. And I promise you, I will preach this again and again and again. Please do not harden your hearts to this message. Oh, I've heard this message and it doesn't work. Oh, I've heard this message so many times before, I don't need to hear it again. That is going to really help to stop the flow of your healing being made manifest. Please don't harden your heart to this message. even if it's not working at the moment. Because sometimes it takes time. Most of you know, I've been working through Dr. Leaf's detox program, and today is actually the final day of my first set of 63 days. So it takes a long time. It takes a long time to change the toxic thoughts into positive thoughts, to see your mind renewed, to see you working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, to see your body being transformed through the renewing of your mind. It does not work instantly or overnight, this process of mind renewal. So please don't harden your heart to this message and thinking it's not work. It takes time. Guys, I don't want to be negative, but it could take years. But just keep pushing, keep pressing in. It may take years, but you know what? If you push and you press, your manifestation could be tomorrow. Could be as soon as we're finished this message. Could be in the next couple of minutes. Yes, it could be further off, but don't give up. Keep pressing on. Don't harden your heart to these truths, even though you've heard me preaching it 50 times before. Guys, you're going to hear me preaching it 50 times again if you keep coming to Murray Grace Fellowship. We need to keep hearing this message. We need to keep reminding ourselves. Psalm 103 verse 2 says we forget some of his benefits. So we need to keep these reminders again and again. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Don't harden your hearts. Carry on. Because the truth, back to the I wills. The truth is God wants you well. Jesus said, I will. Now, actually, technically, that's not for us now because it's I have. But it is always God's will to heal. It is always God's will. Maybe it's better to say it this way. It is always God's will for us now under the new covenant to live in supernatural health. To see that healing made manifest in our lives. That is always God's will. We see that clearly in Jesus in the gospel. We see it. We've seen it in the Psalms. And we've seen it in the new covenant. It is always God's will for us, for his people to live in supernatural health. Because he sent Jesus, he sent the word to go about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Sickness and disease came in at the same time as sin. That was the work of the devil. God wants us to live in supernatural health. That's what 3 John 2 tells us all about. It is his will. It's always been his will to heal, and it will always be his will to heal. Same yesterday, today, forever. There is no change with the Lord Jesus Christ or God the Father. Jesus was asked by the leper, will you heal me? He said, I will. The centurion asked for his servant, will you heal him? He said, I will. All the way through the Gospels. We don't see Jesus saying, I will all the time. But when people ask for healing, he healed them. It was always his will to heal. And we transfer that on to God the Father. It's always his will to heal. Always God's will to heal. And he provided that healing through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And right now, my friend, if you're born again, you have all the healing that you're ever going to need. If you're listening to me this morning, you're not born again. If you trust in Jesus and his finished work of the cross, that healing will flow into your spirit. And it will be available for you going forward. All we need to do is renew our mind and work out that healing. Work out in our bodies. Because it is always God's will for us to live in supernatural health. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Nunzi has just asked me when I said that asking for God's will, asking if it's God's will to heal you, is the wrong prayer. How do we pray? I kind of covered it a little bit when I'm talking about mind renewal and what scriptures do I need to know. So if you're praying, don't pray, is it your will, I'm healed. I would suggest you pray thanking God that you've been healed. So pray, thank you, Father, you have provided for my healing through the finished work of the cross. Thank you that because of Jesus' sacrifice, I have all the healing I'll ever need. Thank you that in my born-again spirit, I am healed, I am whole, and that is free from sickness, free from disease. Thank you, Father, that I can work that out. I can work out my own salvation. I can work out that sozo, work out that healing. So, and then pray, ask the Father through the Holy Spirit to guide you. What should I be listening to? What teachings do I need to go to? What part of the Word do I need to focus on? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you through the Scriptures. Go through the ones that I gave you today, but pray to the Holy Spirit that He shows you a deeper revelation, a deeper understanding of all those truths, of all those Scriptures. Because we have all we need already for life and godliness. And the way we see that manifest is through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. Is that 2 Peter 1:3? So what we need is not to be healed. We need the knowledge of our healing. So above all in your prayers, I would suggest you thank the Lord that you've been healed. Even when you're sick. Even as you're sitting in your sickness and in your pain, thank the Lord that you've been healed. And thank Him again and again and again. And then ask Him through the Holy Spirit to show you what part of the Word do I need to be focused on? What teacher do I need to listen to get a fuller understanding of it? Listen to other people. Sometimes you may not quite grasp what I'm saying, but if you listen to an Andrew Womack or a Joseph Prince or a David Feldman, or I don't know, somebody else, they might say it in a different way and you might get a deeper revelation, deeper understanding. But the best way is through you and the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And get Him to show you what part of Scriptures you need to go to, what deeper understanding, deeper revelation do you need in order to help you to renew your mind, change those toxic thought patterns into positive thought patterns, so that then that will affect your body. So what's in your spirit will come out and be made manifest in your body. That's how I think you should pray. Thankfulness, and ask Him to guide you in what understanding, extra understanding do I need. So hopefully that answers that question. Amen. If you do have any questions, fire them down in the comments. I will look at them later once we finish, and I'll get an answer to you. So we are going to receive an offering this morning. I got the bank statement through this week, folks. So those of you that are putting in your Bax transfers, thank you very much. They are coming through. That's great. For those of you that are putting cash in an envelope and keeping it for us until we can reconvene face to face, thank you very much. That will be good that day when we can put all that into the bank as well. So, Father, I thank you that we have this opportunity to sow back into your kingdom. Thank you, Father, that everything we have has been given from you. Thank you that you are a great provider. And all that you have given us, we thank you for that. All our resources, all our talents, all our skills to generate wealth. Thank you, Father. And thank you that at this point in our service, I thank you that we can give back into your kingdom. Sow back into your kingdom. Father, we know about giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. We thank you that this is not a time to stop sowing. This is not a time to stop giving. We thank you that no matter what is going on in the world, your spiritual laws are still in place. So we thank you for this opportunity to sow, this opportunity to give. And I thank you that this offering will be used for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So yes, I do thank you for everyone that is giving through the Bax transfers. That's allowing us to keep giving our Bax transfers to the various ministries and charities we support. And thank you for all those of you that are keeping it in a little envelope for us. I look forward to that day when I can receive it from you. Amen. And get it into our bank account. So thank you and bless you. Good news from India. We have been delivering food now for over a week. So bless the guys over there. Thank you for all the contributions you're giving. That's allowing us to do that work in India. That's a good work we are doing there, folks. We're in that together, and we're working together with Sundar and Santi and the other people, the other volunteers at the church there, the widows that are come in doing the cooking, and Samuel and Koti that are going about delivering through the village of Karamuru. So that's a really good work, folks. Thank you for that. I would encourage you to give into that as well. So bless you. So now let's take communion together. Have you got your elements, my friends? We'll close our service by taking communion together. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. We are still taking communion together every day as Murray Grace Fellowship. We're doing that at different points in the day, sometimes in the evening, in the afternoon, the morning. Allow different people to take communion with us. So that's been a real blessing. We're having people from all over the world joining us. You're very welcome. If you haven't been getting the emails, just send me a private message with your email address and I'll send you the link. I'll put you on our mailing list and put you on the link. We have a Bible study this week on Thursday evening. We also have something a little bit different this Friday. If you want to join us, we're having the great MGF pub quiz. And we have a very competitive three here who are looking forward to beating you all in the pub quiz. So if you want to join in on that, again, have a look on our website, have a look on our Facebook page and see how to link in with us on Friday evening at 8 o'clock and have a bit of fun in our quiz together. But we're going to take communion now. So, hallelujah, Father, I thank you that we can close our service today by focusing on Jesus, by gathering around these elements, by taking the time to think on and meditate on his amazing finished work. I thank you, Father, for all the communions we've been having during these weeks in isolation. Thank you that we've been able to gather together and take time to focus on Jesus. So we thank you for the symbol of his broken body, broken in love for every single one of us. I thank you that Jesus was broken so that we might be made whole. Thank you that that was one of the great exchanges that took place on the cross. He was broken so that we might be made whole. Hallelujah. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. And Father, thank you for this symbol of his shed blood. Blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Blood shed for the reconciliation of mankind. And thank you, Father, because of that forgiveness and that reconciliation, that has opened the way for salvation and righteousness for every man. Thank you that forgiveness and reconciliation was a gift of grace. And thank you that righteousness and salvation is a gift of grace through faith. So thank you that through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can move into salvation, move into righteousness. And thank you that it's all possible because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So, the blood of the Lord. Amen. Abba, Father, thank you for the finished work of Jesus. Thank you for the amazing exchanges that took place on that cross. Thank you for all that he took and all that he gave us in return. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, thank you for joining us. It's been good to see all your little name tags coming up on there. Thanks for coming in and joining us at Murray Grace Fellowship. Remember, we've got our communion through the week. I'll be putting up the timetable this afternoon for the next week. So look and see when you want to join us. Think about coming to the Bible study. Think about coming to the pub quiz. And just send me a message or a phone call anytime that you want a chat. So really good to see you this morning. Bless you. Thank you for joining us. And if I don't see you through the week, I will see you next Sunday. So, amen. Bye, guys. Bless you.